Hare Krishna. Welcome to the Sunday Feast program. We have honored His Grace Nirantara Prabhu, His disciple of Srila Prabhupada. Most of you know Him. And today He is here to enlighten us from a special chapter in the Srimad Bhagavatam that is requested by Nivedan Prabhu and His good wife Anjali. So He'll be speaking on that chapter. So please welcome Nirantara Prabhu. Thank you, Prabhuji.
Okay. This program is being webcast on a TV station known as Mayapur.tv, and already one person has requested that I sing a particular song. So to satisfy Santa, I will sing this song. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Nithai Gauranga, Nithai Gauranga Nithai Gauranga, Gaurahari Gaurahari, Jaya Gaurahari Nithai Gauranga Gaurahari So sometimes people ask, why do we sing this mantra? And the answer is that our goal is to be able to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra without offense. So to become free from offenses, we take shelter of the Panchatattva and we chant their names first in order to become free from offenses. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasari Gaur Bhakta Vrinda So we have chanted the names of the Panchatattva. Now we are able to chant the holy name of Krishna. When Lord Chaitanya was preaching in South India, he sang this mantra, which is another way of chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Hari Haraye Namaha. Krishna Yadavaya Namaha. Gopala Govinda Ram Sri Madhusudana. Hari Haraye Namaha. Krishna Yadavaya Namaha. Gopala Govinda Ram Sri Madhusudana. Hari Haraye Namaha. Krishna Yadavaya Namaha. Krishna Yadavaya Namaha. Gopala Govinda Ram Sri Madhusudana. Govinda Jaya Jaya Gopala Jaya Jaya Radha Ramana Hari Govinda Jaya Jaya Govinda Jaya Jaya Gopala Jaya Jaya Govinda Radha Ramana Hari Govinda Jaya Jaya Govinda Jaya Jaya Gopala Jaya Jaya Govinda Radha Ramana Hari Govinda Jaya Jaya Govinda Hari Gopala Hari Gopala Hari Govinda Hari Jaya Rama Hari Jaya Krishna Hari Jaya Krishna Hari Jaya Rama Hari Govinda Gopala Govinda Gopala Govinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Shrinadapi sunichena tarariva sahishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari harinama harinama harinamai bhakevalam glo nasjeva 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 gatiranyata. I always recite those two mantras before I speak, because I am now, this year I'll be 60 years old, and I can say that I've learned one thing in life that is very, very, very valuable, and that is perhaps the greatest thing I ever learned was that the best philosophy in life is to always remain meek and humble. And Lord Chaitanya, our main deity here in this temple, advises us to always, always, always be meek and humble. And that prayer should be worn around the neck for constant remembrance. And then the other one, Hare Nama Eva Kevalam. The religion that I joined is the religion that teaches there is no other way. There is no other way, there is no other way for salvation in this age than the chanting of the holy name of God. That's the religion I joined, the religion of chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So, Nivedan requested many weeks ago that I would speak on this particular topic. We are going to, I've been studying for the last 2 weeks this particular section of Srimad Bhagavatam, and since I'm going to speak on Srimad Bhagavatam, it is appropriate that we chant the 12-syllable mantra. So, especially I have such a great mridanga player, it's an honor to play with you. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. 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 So, the Srimad Bhagavatam is the science of God. We begin our study of transcendental knowledge or transcendental education with the Bhagavad Gita. The Bhagavad Gita begins with the first lesson of transcendental knowledge, that I am not my body, I am not my mind, I am eternal spirit soul. And that eternal spirit soul is part and parcel of God. And the Bhagavad Gita informs us who is God. God himself is the speaker of the Bhagavad Gita. And he says in many places that he is the God of all other gods. He is the supreme God. And there's no one equal to or greater than him. His name is Krishna, or his original name, Govinda. Everyone say? So, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna informs us step by step and brings us to the conclusion. And my good friend and well-wisher, Kamlesh Patel, I promised him many years ago that whenever he is in attendance, I would recite that mantra. Kamlesh, where are you? You're over there. I gave him many years ago a nickname, Bhagavad Gita 1866, because for all the years that I know him, there's one thing he believes and follows and preaches. Sarva dharman parityajya mamekam sharanam vraja aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshayishyami ma shucha. Krishna's ultimate instruction in the Bhagavad Gita is that we should give up all other conceptions of religion or duties or obligations and simply surrender to Krishna. And Krishna says, if you do that, Krishna says, I will deliver you from all sinful reactions. And therefore he says, Ma Shucha. Can everyone say? Which has three meanings. Don't worry. Don't hesitate. Don't fear. Don't doubt. That is the meaning of Ma Shucha. In other words, we should surrender to Krishna and not worry. Don't fear. Don't doubt. Be happy and just surrender to Krishna. So the next question would be, is there a practical, is there a further broad understanding of what it means to surrender to Krishna? And the answer, of course, that is explained in Srimad Bhagavatam, the science of surrendering to Krishna. The Bhagavad Gita is a summary, because Krishna spoke on a battlefield 45 minutes, no more than an hour. So in such a time, you cannot give a details. So Krishna gave summary. But the Srimad Bhagavatam is 18,000 verses. Bhagavad Gita is only 700. So in the Srimad Bhagavatam, surrender to Krishna is broadly explained. Technically, Srimad Bhagavatam means the beautiful story of God and his devotees. Not just God. God alone, not so important. But God and his devotees, that's very special. So, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, there is one very nice episode called the story of Kardama Muni and Devahuti. And if you read that, you'll think, oh, this is a love story. It would make a great movie. Yes, the Srimad Bhagavatam has everything. Politics, economics, even sex and war. All the topics that one could want to know is there in Srimad Bhagavatam. Indeed, there's one chapter. Bhagavatam is the answer to all questions. So whatever question there is, the answer can be found in Srimad Bhagavatam. So in this narration, now keep in mind, as opposed to what many people think, Srimad Bhagavatam is not mythology. It is not a story. It is history. So this episode, the love affair of Devahuti and Kardama Muni, is an historical event. And within that, we learn so many items of transcendental knowledge. Transcendental knowledge comes in three varieties. First, what is my relationship with God? God is a person, I'm a person, and we have an eternal relationship. So that's called sambandha. Everyone can say sambandha. Srimad Bhagavatam is explaining what is our relationship with God. Then second, abhideha. Everyone? What is the function? What are the practical activities once that relationship with God is reestablished? And then finally, prayojana. Can everyone say? The fruit. What is the result of establishing a relationship with God? And what is once you're engaged in activities relating to God, devotional service, what is the goal? What is the fruit? And that is love. Even Jesus gave the same answer when asked, what is the greatest commandment? Love God with your whole heart, your whole soul, your whole mind. So religion is one, love of God. That is the ultimate religious principle. Whatever religion someone is following, if they don't have this conception of love of God, they're being cheated. So make sure whatever religion, whatever group, whatever club you belong to, just make sure that the end result is that you're developing love of God. Here in this temple, we have the Panchatattva, and they are giving love of God indiscriminately. Whether you want it or not, they're giving it. If a rich man decides to give away his money, who's going to stop him? And who won't stop him? If a millionaire came in today and said, okay, everyone, whoever chants Hare Krishna, I'm going to give them $1,000. How many people you think would be chanting? There'd be a line out that door and around the block as soon as the news got out. Hey, there's this guy at the Hare Krishna temple. All you got to do is chant Hare Krishna and he'll give you $1,000. I'm there. Yes. So Lord Chaitanya and his associates, they're distributing love of God. All right. Let's go back in time. We're going back millions of years ago. And picture, if you will, a very nice lake, beautiful lake, calm, peaceful, no smog, no pollution, crystal clear. This is in Satya Yuga, the first age, where everything is nice and good and spiritual. And there's a sage, Gardama. He is the son of the creator, Lord Brahma. And he is performing his meditation on the bank of this lake, thick forest, beautiful. And he is worshiping in his heart God. Because another lesson that we learn in the Bhagavad Gita is that God is in your heart. How many people believe that God is in their heart? Very good. And knowing that God is in your heart, does that not make you feel good? It should make you feel good. I'm not going to brag, but at the age of 5, I knew God was in my heart. I still remember I was sitting on the front steps of my house. I don't know why. And the thought came to me, God is in my heart. And then when I came to Krishna consciousness, what I understood at the age of 5 was confirmed by the words of Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. So this sage, Gardama, is performing meditation and worshiping the Lord in his heart, but he has a desire. And that desire is that he's looking for a suitable partner, a wife. The desire is slight because he's mostly interested in his spiritual yoga practices of meditation. But still, he has this desire to marry. And because the Lord in his heart is pleased, the Lord comes from his abode. This is the real avatar, not this stupid movie. The real avatar, that one that descends from the spiritual world. And he has a beautiful form, sky bluish with 4 arms. And he's riding on the back of his winged carrier, Garuda. Here's Garuda. He's on his shoulders. And he appears before Gardama and feels so much compassion for the sage. And the Lord says, I know what you are thinking of. I know what you want. And I am willing to grant your desire. And then the Lord tells him what is going to happen in the years to come. He said, very soon, the girl that you're thinking of, the one that's in the heart of your hearts, she will appear before you. And you will live together very nicely. And I don't want to give away the rest of the story, but the Lord tells him and predicts exactly what's going to happen. And Gardama is so grateful to the Lord for the benediction. And the Lord, upon leaving, sheds a tear in that lake. And therefore the lake is known as Bindu Sarovara. And the Lord shed that tear out of compassion for Gardama. So the Lord disappeared. And then within a short time, the emperor of the world, Swayambhuva Manu, came on his chariot with his wife, Shatarupa. And on that chariot was a beautiful girl, Devahuti. This devotee was so beautiful that previously she was playing with a ball on the roof of the palace, and one demigod riding on his airplane became so much stupefied that he fell off his airplane seeing the beauty of Devahuti. So Swayambhuva came with his daughter, and there was a nice exchange between Kardama and Swayambhuva. And Swayambhuva said, yes, my daughter would like to marry you. And as soon as Devahuti and Kardama, when their eyes met, as we say in America, love at first sight, she fixed her mind on him, and she and he, and right there and then, they were betrothed and married. And Swayambhuva, upon departing, felt so much affection for his daughter. And anyone who has given away a daughter in marriage, when I gave my daughter away in marriage, I also cried. I didn't believe it, but yes, I cried. So Swayambhuva was crying, feeling separation from his daughter, but he left. So this is a princess, and she's married to a sage. And she's not living in the palace now. She's living in the forest there. And so the sage is continuing his austerities and penances and meditation. And she, the princess, is serving him faithfully, like a menial servant, silently, just serving him. And this is going on for many years, and so much so that her own body she neglected simply to serve her husband. Then one day Kardama said to his wife, you have served me so nicely, and I'm surprised that you neglected your own body just to serve me. So now I'm going to show you what is the results of doing this kind of mystic yoga that I've been doing. So Kardama says, enter this lake. And when Devahuti enters the lake, immediately there's an underground city or compound in the lake. And immediately she is taken by these beautiful damsels, and they bathe her, and they anoint her, and they, like, you know, they had this extreme makeovers. Well, she had an extreme makeover because her hair had become matted. Her whole body had become discolored. But now that the maidens had bathed her and oiled her and massaged her, and when she came out of the lake again, she resumed her princess-like form. She was beautiful. And Kardama said, now watch. And Kardama, by his mystic yoga, created a mansion, an aerial mansion, that could fly throughout the universe. It was an actual mansion that he created by his mystic mental prowess. So they entered this mansion, and they went on their transcendental honeymoon. And they went all throughout the universe, and they were enjoying such nice, beautiful, heavenly pleasures. They would travel to the different regions of the demigods, in different celestial places. And it is described that this aerial mansion of Kardama, the sheets were like white as the foam of milk. And it had all opulences, nice perfumes and incense, beautiful flowers. And for 100 years, they traveled all over the universe to different heavenly regions, enjoying very nice as husband and wife. Very, very exalted kind of existence. And then Kardama Muni, on a particular day, by his mystic powers, expanded himself into 9 different Kardama Munis. Pretty good, huh? Wouldn't you love just to do one? One of you could stay home and watch television, and the other one would go to work. You'd love that, wouldn't you? Or ladies, one could go to the beauty parlor while the other one stayed and did the housework. Pretty good. So 9 different Kardama Munis impregnated Devahuti. And she gave birth to 9 beautiful daughters. And those 9 beautiful daughters were married to 9 great sages. Lord Brahma appeared and arranged for the different marriage of each daughter. Now, what I didn't tell you at the beginning, when Swayambhuva Manu gave his daughter to Kardama, he told Swayambhuva that I am going to accept your daughter on one condition, that as soon as she gives birth to children, then I am going to give up this householder life and again resume my severe penances and austerities and yoga. So now she has given birth to 9 daughters, and they have all been married. So she sees that now her husband is about to leave. So this is the section that I particularly wanted to explain in a little detail. This is called Devahuti's Lamentation. Please hear. Please listen nicely. By the way, we have 7 people throughout the world watching this class on the internet. To those 7 devotees, welcome to ISKCON Laguna Beach. Everyone say, Hari Bol. Yeah, because there's a microphone in the computer, so they all heard that. All right. When she saw her husband about to leave home, she smiled externally, but at heart she was agitated and distressed. She stood and scratched the ground with her foot, which was radiant with the luster of her gem-like nails. With her head bent down, she spoke in slow yet charming accents, suppressing her tears. This same kind of emotion was exhibited in this picture here when Krishna told the gopis the night of the rasa dance that they should go home. So the gopis also scratched the ground with their toenails, and they also shed tears, feeling that they were completely heartbroken that Krishna had told them to go home. When Krishna played his flute, the gopis ran. And then when the gopis got there, Krishna said, well, what are you doing here? Why did you come? It was like, what? You played the flute. We're supposed to come. And here Krishna is toying with them. So the same thing, Devahuti is internally feeling very sad. She says to Kardama, my dear Brahmana, as far as your daughters are concerned, they will find their own suitable husbands and go away to their respective homes. But who will give me solace after your departure as a sannyasi? Until now, we have simply wasted so much of our time in sense gratification, neglecting to cultivate knowledge of the Supreme Lord. Not knowing your transcendental situation, I have loved you while remaining attached to the objects of the senses. Nonetheless, let the affinity I have developed for you rid me of all fear. Association for sense gratification is certainly the path of bondage, but the same type of association performed with a saintly person leads to the path of liberation, even if performed without knowledge. Anyone whose work is not meant to elevate one to religious life, anyone whose religious ritualistic performances do not raise one to renunciation, and anyone situated in renunciation does not lead to devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, must be considered dead, although breathing. My Lord, surely I have been solidly cheated by the insurmountable illusory energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For in spite of having obtained your association, which gives liberation from material bondage, I did not seek such liberation. So these statements by Devahuti reveal that she is a very, very highly qualified individual. She has made several good points here. The one that sticks out glaringly is she points out what is the danger of household life. Even in Krishna consciousness, the danger of household life is that if we become too much absorbed in sense gratification, then we are cheating ourselves. Here she is, married to this great sage, and she has enjoyed a wonderful household life. He has satisfied her every desire. And later on, she will say to Kardama, "Yes, you have given me everything except one thing. You have given me every conceivable benediction except one thing: fearlessness. Fearlessness. That is the most valuable thing. Why is everybody fearful in this material world? Because of the time factor, death. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that this time factor is his representative. And this time factor is destroying each and every one of us. We see it every day. We look in the mirror, another wrinkle, another loose tooth, another ache. Oh, that wasn't there yesterday. Oh. Right? Time is imperceptibly stealing everything. And that time factor and the fear of death. So fearlessness, this is, practically speaking, the most valuable thing. So Devahuti says to her husband, "You cannot leave until you give me this fearlessness. We have enjoyed, but don't leave until you give me fearlessness." So Kardama then says, which I didn't tell you at the beginning, what did the Lord, when he appeared, the Lord predicted that he would marry this girl, that they would have 9 daughters, but the Lord also said, "I will appear as your son." Pretty good. Pretty good to have the Lord as your son. So Kardama said to his wife, "Yes, very soon the Lord will appear as your son, and he will instruct you, and that is how you will get your fearlessness. Because the only way to get fearlessness is to become fixed up in transcendental knowledge. Not theoretical, but practical transcendental knowledge. To have realized transcendental knowledge. That is how you get fearlessness. There's a song which explains this very nicely. Bajahu re mana Shri Nandanandana Abhaya Sharanara Vindare Bolo Bajahu Bajahu re mana Shri Nandanandana Abhaya Sharanaravindare. Abhaya Sharanaravindare. Abhaya Charanadavindare, you become fearless when you are situated at the lotus feet of the Lord. So those being situated at the lotus feet of the Lord means that you are on the boat of transcendental knowledge. Krishna explains this in Bhagavad Gita. He uses the word plavam, the boat of transcendental knowledge. And you get that when your mind and heart and activities are fixed at the lotus feet of Krishna. Abhay. Everyone can say? So if you have been listening tonight very attentively, then you got a taste of this abhay. So the Lord appears as the sun of Kardama and Devahuti, and the scriptures very rarely refer to this incarnation as the son of Kardama. 9 times out of 10, this incarnation is referred to as the son of Devahuti. That's an honor given to her. She's so exalted. So this name of God who appeared, Kapila, everyone say. So this Kapila appeared, and Kardama approaches his son and says, I would like to take sannyas. And you would think, he just now has the Lord as his son. Why does he want to leave? But that's because Kardama is such an exalted person. It is not necessary for him to see the Lord by staying home. He says to the Lord, I want to travel and see you wherever I go in my heart. So Kardama is so advanced. And Kapildev blesses him. So Kapildev stays with his mother. And at the appropriate time, she approaches her son and begins to inquire from him about how to get this fearlessness, how to get this transcendental knowledge, how to get Krishna consciousness. And this is something every one of us should acquire. Doesn't matter how late it is. Don't worry. You may be 10 years old, you may be 100 years old. It's never too late to start. Better late than never. So if one thing you should pick up from tonight's lecture, now is the time to be situated in the boat of transcendental knowledge so that you become fearless. And I predict, this is now, no, I'm predicting this. The next couple of years, you had better be learned how to become fearless. Because we're in for some rough times. And the only thing that's going to save you won't be Obama, that's for sure. It won't be Sarah Palin, that's for sure. The only thing that's going to save you is your transcendental knowledge. And are you fearless? Are you ready? The time is coming. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. So Kapila answers the question of Devahuti. Devahuti's questions are so brilliant, so high-level questions. What is the nature of this material world? What is the nature of this devotional service or Krishna consciousness? And Kapila Dev explains what is called Sankhya. Sankhya means the philosophy which analyzes and which counts all the different items of this material world so that you see it analytically, clinically, and see this material world for what it is. Kapil Dev also explains in detail what is real yoga meditation, not this Hollywood yoga that's very fashionable now. Kapil Dev goes into a great analysis of the real yoga system. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna again gives a summary. But Kapil Dev goes into great detail, and Kapil Dev also gives an extensive description of what the Lord in the heart looks like. You study any scripture, you'll be very hard-pressed to find in any scripture a description of what God looks like. But in Kapil Dev, he gives you an exact description of what the face looks like, what the clothes he's wearing, what he has in his hands, how he's standing. And he gives it such a nice description, and he gives that so that the yogi knows exactly how to meditate. And then Kapila Dev also explains the life of the child in the womb, beginning from the moment of conception to the moment of birth. And Kapila Dev also talks about hell. Yes, I read that section today. Yes, some people think, oh, hell, that's not real. Well, Kapila Dev says it's very real. And he gives a very detailed analysis of what it's like to go to hell. And trust me, you don't want to go to hell. That's one vacation you don't want. Better you come to the temple. And Kapila Dev explains what is Krishna consciousness, devotional service, which you're doing right now. You're doing the first item, hearing. This is the beginning of spiritual life, hearing. You could be listening to some TV or radio commentator, but when you come and hear from a devotee, this is the beginning of spiritual life. This is so important. Prabhupada insisted, temple is not just for ringing the bell and worshiping the deity. That's not enough. One has to hear the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. That's very important. There must be this hearing of the philosophy. So when you come here and you hear, this is very, very important. Shrin Bhatang Swakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana Hridiyantaksto Hiyabhadrani Vidhunoti Suritsata. You want to become fearless? Begin to hear from the devotees. The more you hear transcendental subject matter, you will become fearless. When I need to become fearless, I'm listening to my spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada. And within a few moments, I feel very safe and fearless. That is the effect of hearing from a devotee. And how do you know that you've heard? You know that you've heard because now it comes out of your mouth. If you listen to a particular radio announcer or TV commentator, after a while, that's what will come out of your mouth. But if you listen to devotees, then before long, that's what will come out of your mouth. Krishna Katha. And Krishna Katha is so great. You benefit, and whoever hears you benefit. Doubly effective. So the whole purpose of this movement is to benefit ourselves and benefit others. We are a proselytizing movement. Yes. We are meant to give this beautiful knowledge to others. We're not like the yogis. The yogis are simply interested in their own so-called spiritual benefit. But when you come to Krishna consciousness, your whole focus becomes, I need to save myself and as many others as I can along with me. That was Prabhupada's mood. Prabhupada's mood was not that I'm going back to Godhead. No. Prabhupada's mood was, let me take as many with me as I can. The same mood as Prahlad Maharaj. Prahlad Maharaj was not interested simply in his own salvation. Prahlad Maharaj's mood was, I have to save the fallen conditioned souls. So our movement is, take and give. Take from Krishna and his devotees and then give to others. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So on the internet, we have somebody from Mumbai watching and listening. Let's all say Hari Bol to Hitesh B. Hari Bol. So Hitesh, since you're all the way there in Mumbai, this last little bit is dedicated to you. So after Kapil Dev instructed Devahuti, there was many questions from Devahuti. Then after Kapil Dev finished, Devahuti made some astounding statements. And two of those statements are so powerful. They are recorded not only in Srimad Bhagavatam, but also in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, and quoted more than once. Devahuti said to her son, Kapil, that anyone who has the Lord's name on his tongue, that person has already studied all the Vedas. Anyone who has the name of God on his tongue has already performed all penances. That person who chants the holy name of God has already done all kinds of sacrifices in the Vedas. That person has already visited all the holy places around in India, around the world. That person has already done charity. That person has already done any kind of pious activities. Because to be able to chant the holy name of the Lord is the mark of the most advanced human being. Indeed, the Srimad Bhagavatam says that in Kali Yuga, one who chants the holy name is Sumedasa, most intelligent. So I hope all of you are chanting the holy name of God on a daily basis. Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama eva kevalam galo nastyeva, nastyeva, nastyeva gatiranyata. And Devahuti said, this person who's chanting the holy name, it doesn't matter what their birth was. They may be high, they may be low. They may have taken birth in the most abominable, sinful family. But if they're chanting the holy name, that makes everything wonderful. So here in this movement, we don't judge somebody based on their body or their caste or their creed. All we want to know, are you a chanter? That's it. We just want to know, are you a chanter? There are, in my book that I'm going to write one day, Kamlesh wants me to write a book. So I've been thinking, this is dear, Kamlesh. I hear you in my brain. So I'm thinking about what to write. One thought is, there are two kinds of people, chanters and non-chanters. And we don't hate the non-chanters. We love the non-chanters. But we want you to become a chanter. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Bolo! Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So Hitesh from Mumbai says, Hari Bol to everyone. Jai Hitesh. So who wants a blessing? want a blessing? Then you have to raise your hand. Now, I'm the one giving the blessing, so you can't argue what I give. So if you don't want my blessing, now is the time to leave. All right, everyone close your eyes. I'm now going to give the blessing. My dear Lord, please bless all these devotees here in this Panchatattva temple room. Please, you are in their heart. Please go into their hearts. Clean out all inauspiciousness in their hearts. My Lord, please clean all kinds of nasty material desires in their hearts. And my Lord, shine like the shining sun in their heart. And remove all the obstacles in their lives, material and spiritual. My Lord, bless them that they lived fulfilled lives in Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.